2 weeks ago, we heard in the gospel, the apostles were left asking, who is this whom even the wind and the sea obey? We were told they were filled with great awe. Then last Sunday's gospel, their question was, who is this who can raise a young girl back from death to life? And the gospel said they were utterly astonished. What's the question from today's gospel? Again, who is this? Isn't this the ordinary carpenter? Our old neighbor? Don't we know his relatives? How can he claim to be somebody special? You see the difference between the last 2 weeks and this week? A completely different attitude. Jesus hasn't changed, but the audience has changed. Now, it's normal and it's good to ask questions about who Jesus is, to seek his real identity, especially when we're reflecting on his amazing words and on his miraculous deeds, and when we're asking him in prayer to do something for us. But it makes all the difference whether we are asking, who is this, with faith or without faith. At the heart of this Sunday's lesson is once again the question of faith. For the past few weeks, we had a more positive approach to the question of faith. What happens when people have faith, when they put their trust in God? Today's readings take a more negative approach. What happens when people don't have faith, when they refuse to trust in God? So in the first reading, we heard the prophet Ezekiel saying, this is a rebellious people, rebellious house, they won't listen. And then in the gospel, Mark chapter 6, Jesus goes to his native place, Nazareth, and they reject him. Last Sunday's gospel had the story of Jairus and the woman with the hemorrhage. They were examples of faith and prayer. Remember what Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. But the example of the people of Nazareth today is no faith. Lack of faith. In fact, the final line of today's gospel is, he was amazed at their lack of faith. Nagtaka siya sapagkat hindi sila sumampalataya. Now, we have a sense of what happens when people have faith because we've heard these stories. Not that people of faith take charge of God, or they tell him what to do, no, but they allow God to be in charge. They submit themselves to God. They talk to God. They open themselves to God. They allow him to show them what he wants them to do. That's faith. Thy will be done, right? That's faith. People of faith, listen to the prophets. People of faith, welcome Jesus. But what happens when people don't have faith? Well, then who's in charge? Well, the illusion is, then I'm in charge. I don't have to submit to God. I can do whatever I want. But that's simply not true. And especially when we're in trouble, we realize we can't solve this problem. Now, in reflecting on this, it's important to note that there's a difference between people who simply don't know God yet, people who are still searching, but as if they're still in darkness, yes, or ignorance. That's one category we could call no faith. But then there's this other category, people who refuse to believe, people who refuse to trust in God. And that's what we see in this story of the people of Nazareth. They're like that. They won't believe. And they think they have good reasons not to accept Jesus. They have all the justifications. It says they took offense at him. They've decided not to recognize him. Siya'y ayaw nilang kilanlin. There's a very good image for this attitude. Refusing to trust in God is something like putting on a blindfold. blindfold. I looked up in my Tagalog dictionary, what's blindfold? And my dictionary said blindfold, like a blindfold. Then I looked in another dictionary, it said piring. Piring, tama ba? So nakapiring, that's what it's like to refuse to believe. It's like nakapiring. When our eyes are covered, we can't see, of course. We can't see, that's the whole point. We can still hear, we can still talk, we can still walk around. We could even say we can do whatever we want when we're wearing a blindfold. But the possibilities are really limited. I mean, we stay in routines that are familiar to us. We remember where the furniture is and where the steps are and where the doors are. It's very hard to go any further than that into unknown territory. It's even frightening because we don't know when we're going to encounter some obstacle or some danger because we can't see. Fear of the unknown is one of the big obstacles or one of the reasons why we don't make progress. Now, you say, that's a terrible example because who puts on a blindfold? We don't do that. We don't put on a blindfold and then walk around. Yes, that's true. But it's very common for people to put on a spiritual blindfold, for people to refuse to believe or refuse to even ask the questions about God and about what God wants. Why? Because we don't want to see. We don't want to have the will of God presented to us because then we have to submit to it. And people don't want to submit to God. So they put on this piring, this blindfold. Now, without faith, without being able to see, with this spiritual blindfold blocking our faith, we set very narrow limits to the action of God. It's like we put God in a box. And that's what we see in this story about the people of Nazareth. The people look at Jesus, they can see him with their eyes, but they don't look at him with faith. They know who he is, but they don't really know who he is. They have this blindfold of prejudice, this blindfold of judgment against him. He's just a carpenter. He's a carpenter. He's the son of Mary. He's from a poor family. He's not from a wealthy family. He's a nobody. He's not from a good school. He's not even educated. He's an ordinary fellow. We know him already. Therefore, he cannot be anything else than what we already know. See the blindfold, the narrowness, the limitation, putting Jesus in a box. Yes, he's a carpenter. Yes, he's the son of Mary. Yes. But that's not all he is. You're cutting off the reality of his divine identity and his divine power. But they're saying, no, can't be anything special. Because we already know. He can't have great wisdom, even though it sounds like he does. He can't do great works, even though we keep hearing that he does. And the result of this attitude, this prejudice, this blindfold, and this is very significant. The result is, it says in the gospel, Jesus was not able to perform any mighty deed there apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Well, curing people by laying hands on them is already an amazing thing, but they don't even notice it. You see, it says he was not able. Of course he was able to. Of course he was able to do great things. But he saw that it wouldn't do any good. Why bother showing more to people who have covered their own spiritual eyes? Okay, so that's the condition of the people of Nazareth. Let's see if we can apply this to ourselves a little bit. Now, we know that it is sometimes very difficult to believe. It's difficult to trust in God. That's okay. Even the great saints experienced times of great struggle and darkness. That's not lack of faith. That's part of the spiritual life. But when we refuse to believe, that's something different. When we refuse to trust, then we can't see, and it's our own fault. It's not because God is hiding, or God is purifying us, or putting us through a trial. It's because we do it to ourselves. That's a different thing. And if we insist that we must see first, before we will believe, well, that's something like saying, I want to see first before I dare to take off my blindfold. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how it works. That's the wrong approach, the wrong attitude. The right thing is to start without the blindfold. Open our eyes first, then let God be in charge. Let God reveal what he wants to show us. That's faith. Now, one of the clues here, you can see in the Gospels, is whether people are willing to pray or not. You see, people without faith, they don't pray. They don't pray because they don't think it's going to do any good. It's not important to them. They think it's a waste of time. Well, sure, if we don't open our hearts to God, well, then we won't see him do any great things. Notice that in the Gospels of the previous weeks, people prayed that when the apostles were in the storm, they said, Lord, help us, we're drowning here. Last week, Jairus said, please cure my daughter. She's on the point of death. It's a prayer. What do the people of Nazareth say? Nothing. They don't make any request. They don't listen. No prayer. That's a clue. If there's no prayer, that's evidence of no faith. And because prayer is an expression of faith. So if you find yourself not praying, it's a big red flag. It's a warning. Don't be like the people of Nazareth. No, pray. Continue to pray. Even when it seems like God is not listening or is not doing anything, don't give up on prayer. That's like to say, don't give up on faith. You see, the negative example that's set before us here is so that we won't act like this, so that we won't act like the people who rejected Ezekiel the prophet, so that we won't act like the people of Nazareth who rejected Jesus himself, so that we won't walk around wearing a pirin, blindfold. So we won't close our eyes to the eyes of our hearts to God. I remember the words of Jesus to Jairus last week. Don't be afraid, just have faith. Now, what we're actually being warned against here is a very common modern tendency, the tendency to eliminate God from the world or give no space for God in our life. No, there's no need for God because we're doing this ourselves. That's a danger. It's a danger of refusing to face reality, including the reality of God. It's the danger of settling for superficial impressions, labels, rash judgments, appearances, prejudices. The psalm response today, Psalm 123, the response was, our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord. Walang piring, no blindfold. We're looking to the Lord, pleading for his mercy. You see, what's hidden from the eyes of our physical eyes is revealed to the eyes of the heart, to the eyes of faith. And what's revealed is God's love for us sinners, his mercy. His mercy. He loves us so much that he became one of us. He loves us enough to come among us in the flesh. That's the wonder of Christmas, right? Emmanuel, God is with us. The people of Nazareth, of all people, they should have known that. But they didn't. But the wonder is not only that God has come among us, but it extends to the wonder of Holy Week and of Easter, that God loves us so much that he lays down his life for us. That's an extraordinary wonder. That's the mercy that we see when we fix our eyes on the Lord. He died for us to overcome sin. He rose from death to share with us his own victory. That's the wonder. Now, if we close the eyes, if we close our hearts, we miss all these wonders. Just like the people of Nazareth, Jesus was standing right in their midst, and they took offense at him. So, we're being called to put our trust in God, even when we're suffering, even when we're in darkness, to put our trust in him, and then we see. Our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy.